Blog Talk Radio.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothe yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
Good afternoon and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is October the 24th, 2011. Please call someone, text someone, tweet someone, and let them know that I am on the air. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Let me introduce to you my special guest on today, Mr. Purvis Taylor comes from Lancaster, Texas. He was officially began his career in entertainment during the summer of 2000. While attending the University of Miami on scholarship, he landed an internship at Electric Records, where he worked in the promotions and A&R department. On his journey, he took another turn when one day, on a whim, he ran into a modeling and talent scout from the prestigious world-renowned Wilhelmina Modeling Agency. After one meeting, he was offered a contract. The world of television, movies, commercials, and print was new to him, but he soon adjusted, landing parts in featured films and commercials. Later, he decided to work behind the scenes as a casting director and as a director of talent for talent management company, developing new skills and a deeper understanding of film and television industry helped him discover a new talent screenplay writer. So he has his first screenplay, right, The Rainbow Killer, that was completed some time ago. He is also the author of Purvis Principles, Volume 1, a daily meditation mini book, a book for young people in their teens and 20s. This book was released in 2011 in January. It has had rave reviews, and it is a daily meditation book designed to help the readers achieve a better quality of life versus a life quantity. By things. Let me introduce to you my special guest on today, Mr. Purvis Taylor. Are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so appreciative.
You are certainly welcome. I wanted to ask you a few questions. One, I wanted to know your book entitled, and am I saying your first name right, Purvis Taylor?
Yeah, Purvis Principles. Yeah, Purvis Taylor.
Purvis Principles. I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to write your book?
Well, one of to take you back a little bit, one of the last conversations I had with my daddy before he transitioned and before he passed, he said to me that, you know, I was going to write a book that was going to help young people. And at the time, where I was in my life, I just didn't see that because I was so focused. I was so wanting to be successful within the entertainment industry and just climb and achieve. So at the time, I kind of disregard what he said. So fast forward a few years later, the, you know, Twitter comes around, Facebook comes around, and I started, you know, writing these little statements that God would give me, and people just really started to like them. And one of my good friends, he said to me, he said, "Purvis, you should write a book of all your tweets and your Facebook postings." So that's really how the book came about. And then when I sat and thought about it, that conversation, as soon as he said that conversation with my dad came back to remembrance. In the process of me just thinking about it, I said, "Wow, you know, this could be something really amazing to leave a legacy for myself, and it also benefit other people at the same time." So that's really how the inspiration of it came about.
That is awesome that you would take something that would be so innocent, you know, and then make it be your name, you know, your future. How,
yeah,
God allows us to how he bursts our gifts out of us. And it doesn't always,
right,
come in the manner that we think it ought to come.
Yes.
But in this generation or in this age of the 21st century, how he is bringing forth new platforms and various,
right,
platforms in the traditional,
right,
which,
right,
leads me to my next question. What,
uh-huh,
challenges do you see when communication with young people in the 21st century versus years ago? What challenges do you see with communication?
Well, obvious one is that, you know, I feel like young people today are just inundated with so many things. Like, they have access to so much stuff than when we were growing up. I'm 31 years old, so, like, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have Facebook. I didn't have Twitter. I didn't have blogs. You know, the internet was just really kind of popping off when I was in high school. So I just think that they just have so much access to so many different things. They have these video games, the Wii. Everything is just so now and you know, is so distracting. So it's hard for them to actually focus. So the challenge, you know, I would say is to move, you know, to find your way past these distractions to find out what's really going on with them. So that, to me, is like the biggest challenge that I feel like young people are dealing with today. And to add to, you know, they see so much, like they see the reality shows and all this stuff like that, and they think that that's the way to success or that's the way to a blessed life. And, you know, so they're presented with so many false things today.
Yeah, and you're right. I also didn't have all the different distractions, as you call them, when we were coming up. Cell phones and computers, I think, were just popping off when I was in high school as well. We and internet, wow. And you wonder why our children have so many challenges, and how come our children are exposed so early to various things that would cause them to go in a different way, be contrary. I call it being disobedient at times.
Right.
But there are also benefits to those things as well.
Right. Right.
I was doing some research and realized that in a recent exercise that you did, working with young people at Urban Assembly Media High School, that you did a exercise with the students, and you asked them to write down the principles that they live by.
Mm-hmm.
One of the answers that came back was, "Why fight when you can run?"
Right.
Can you explain that defining moment that came about for you? with that response, okay. What were you thinking at that point?
Well, I remember that vividly. I was at Urban Assembly Media High School, and as you know, it's a school that has a lot of at-risk youth. And some of the, you know, I had all the students write down what life principle they live by on these huge sheets of paper. And the goal for me to do that is for everybody to see what life principle they live by and to see if we can kind of, you know, shape it to get them towards the life that they want to achieve. And so, you know, I had some very, very amazing responses. So when I got to his response, it was like, why fight when you can run? Everybody in the classroom started, like, you know, jumping on him, like, man, that's crazy. Like, I'm a fight, and I ain't gonna run. You a coward. Why would you, you know, why would you write that? So I asked the student, his name was David. I said, David, can you explain to me why you wrote that? And he says, Mr. Taylor, he said, you know, I come from a family where all they do is fight. All they do is argue, and they try to suck me into it. And I recognize that I have a life ahead of me. So why should I stay here and fight with them when I can run towards the life that I want to have? And when he said that, I was like, wow. It blew me away, because I would have never, ever in my life guessed that's the meaning behind it. And so in hearing him say that, I was like, it just really just, you know, struck a chord with me emotionally. Like, you know, kids are dealing with so much, and he recognizes at 17 years old that his family is negative and they're sucking him into stuff that he doesn't want to be in. And so he recognizes that there's a life for him, which is the positive, and he wants to run towards it. So it just really struck me in a way, like I was blindsided. Like, I literally was stuck for like a second, had to regain my composure. I had to regain my composure because I wasn't expecting that. But, you know, it was that was a life-changing moment for myself.
Especially coming from a what did you say, 16, 17-year-old male?
Yeah, yes, 17-year-old young man.
And you would think that when they're in a environment such as that, that they, like you said, would either get sucked in, but how awesome was it that he chose a different path, or he recognized early that he did not have to settle for that he could make a change for the better.
Right, right. And it was empowering for him because he was very shy. Like, he didn't want me to call on him, but I wanted to give everybody the opportunity to be heard. And he said it, and then, like, as I was encouraging him, he became more empowered and believed in his statement, what he said. So it was just, that was just an awesome experience for me and hopefully for him.
Sounds like it. And the fact that you talk about, he said, why fight when you can run? If everyone around him was fighting, to me that sounds like that kind of plays into October being Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Right.
Having said all of that, what principles do you have to share with young people, especially men, young boys, about domestic violence? What principle would you give them?
Well, first of all, let me say that I'm not an expert on domestic violence. But one of the things that I do know, as being a man and particularly speaking to young men, I know that we as men don't tend to be honest with our emotions,
right,
what's going on inside. Actually, a great Bible study teacher, his name is Chris Burge, he always says that men scream at a frequency that only they can hear.
Right.
And it's true. So one of the things that I honestly live my life by is the principle of only what you confess can be healed.
That's
so
awesome.
Only what you can confess can be healed. So taking it, I guess, tying it into domestic violence, I would say, you know, for the men, the young men, they're dealing with so many emotions, so many insecurities, so many frailties within themselves that only they are dealing with. And they don't feel that they have permission to to be who they are, to say what's really going on inside them. I don't think that they have outlets for that.
Yeah.
So it turns into anger, and it turns into built-up anger. And a lot of these young men don't have strong male figures in their lives, and they have, you know, women who are the male, the mother and the father for them. So they can't really relate. So I'm not justifying at all domestic violence, but I do know that it's an insecurity that hasn't been addressed. It's a pain that hasn't been addressed. It is a hurt that hasn't been addressed. And I think that if a lot more of us as young men, especially at that particular age, discuss emotions and pains and insecurities and fears and stuff like that we have going on with inside of us, a lot of that stuff wouldn't happen, I believe.
I agree.
I'm not saying that's the answer to the whole thing, but I know, you know, that's part of it.
I like that. What you confess can be healed. I like that. Ooh, I really like that. That is awesome. That is awesome. So having said,
yes,
words of advice you have to share. What's your outlook in the future?
Wow, that's a like in term my outlook for the future for myself or for Purpose Principles.
Both. Okay, let's do the first. For just in general, let's do Purpose Principles.
Okay. I'm going to write, you know, three volumes so far of the book, and I want it to be a household name, especially with young adults. I want it to be like a little, you know, companion book that they can carry around with them. I want it to be a New York Times bestseller every single time it comes out. I really want to be invisible in a sense so people can just see God and what I'm doing. Like, I really want, you know, it's God's book. It's God's ministry. I make no, you know, I don't take credit for it. You know, it's God's.
Yeah.
This is all God's doing. I don't know. I just want people, I want to be a vessel used to, you know, bring some change in these crazy days we live in. I want people to start loving themselves. I want people to start making better choices. I want people to start being of use, being what they were created to do. Instead of, you know, running around trying to find their purpose, I want people to, you know, operate in with the gifts that God gave them. So if I can, especially with young people, if I can be of any use with that, that would be amazing. As far as me personally, I mean, that ties in. I just want to be a better man. I want to have, you know, be a man of outstanding character and integrity and, you know, just, you know, be married, have a family, you know, successful spiritually and materially, and just doing what God created me to do and doing it to the utmost degree. So when I'm at the end of my life, I can say I used everything that he gave me. I can tell him, like, I did everything that you gave me, I did something with it.
That is
awesome. Yeah, so I guess that would be it.
my board is lit up.
Oh, it is?
It is lit up. I'm pretty sure I have about 10 good minutes. I can probably do maybe two or three questions. So brace yourself. Brace yourself.
Okay.
Any, many, money, mo. Here we go.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. This is Victory Against All Odds. Caller 7437. Question, comment, or concern?
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
Hi. You're on the air.
Hi.
Do you have a question for our caller?
No, I just have a comment. Evangelist Benton, I thank God for your faithfulness to the kingdom and I was just enjoying the words of wisdom and the nuggets and those priceless things that he expounded upon during the course of the show. And it's my desire that you will keep this rhythm so that the listeners throughout the U.S. and those countries outside the United States will realize that we have our reasonable duty is to make that difference and to embrace the values and standards that the family, that God requires of the family. And that even though the world calls it domestic violence, it's a watered-down version of saying it is a big deal, but it's not a big deal, when in essence it's oppression. And that's one of the things that God hates. And so we have to deal, we have to face this thing that appears to be a giant in our life and walk in that dominion that God instructed us in the beginning when he gave Adam his instructions in the garden. So it's so critical that we do that, that we just not just say, well, you know, it's not my problem, I don't get involved, because anytime I have a saying that if you're aware of a truth, then it's something that God knows that you can do something about it. That's why you're being made aware of that truth. It may require prayer. It may require intervention. It may require taking it to the authorities. But any time that something, some degree of truth is brought to your attention, you are responsible for taking some action on the truth you receive. So I'm just ecstatic. I'm excited about the rhythm and just how your guest is coming with this strong message of violence. And so anything having to do with that means that somebody's going to lose, and everybody loses anytime any degree of violence is implemented inside the family, outside of the family, or in our community.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for calling. I like that. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Let's see. My board is lit up. Hold on just a moment. Thank you, caller 5421. You're on the air. Do you have a question, comment for my guest or myself?
Hello?
Yes. Caller 5421?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, of course.
It's just interesting for a young man to talk about how he heard of another young man saying that, you know, because my family, my children came up in a type of violence. Mm. And I thank God that they took from my example, not my husband's example.
Amen.
And I conquered it, but I have a son that still don't know how to deal with what he went through as a child,
mm-hmm.
because he's still going through some of the violence that he experienced as a child. Mm-hmm. So it's hard sometimes to relate to another person if they've never been through it and you never lived in it. It's hard to make others aware of what happens when you live in violence. And
wow.
So, I, you know, I've tried to get my son to. He's a man now. He's not a young boy anymore. He's a man, but he took the characteristics of my husband.
Okay.
But I try to teach him different. But sometimes when you get traumatized, you don't know how to accept help.
Yeah.
It's hard to reach him. But my prayer is that one day God will turn all this around for him.
Yes, ma'am. Will you just continue to pray for your son?
Thank you.
It goes back to also, Purpose, what you said in reference to men not having permission to express themselves. And that's where we plug in what you confess can be, you know, can be healed. I like that statement. Boy, I tell you, I'm gonna have to borrow that one from you. But it applies also to what the caller is saying. You know, if he grew up in that environment when he was not, or perhaps not, and I'm actually putting words in your mouth, and I don't mean to do that. But at the same time, because, and I think what you were alluding to is women or even fathers, you know, talked about, you know, men or showing a sign of weakness because they weren't
right.
able to express their feelings when they were hurt. You know, don't
right.
cry because you're, you know, that's a sign that you're a wimp. Or,
yes.
You know, those things cause young boys to take that anger inside, which is one of the tools that I talked about in reference to domestic violence. And one of the tools that I talked about is being able to get that anger out in a positive way. So
in a
whether
positive
that
way.
You write it down,
yes.
sing a song, write a poem, go jogging, ride a bike,
exercise.
Whatever
Absolutely.
You need to do to get that anger out. And
Absolutely.
Because men have been trained and conditioned and told that they're wimps because they don't supposed to cry or hurt, or if they fall and scrape their knee as a little boy, oh, get up because, you know, you're not supposed to dry them tears up. You spank them and then you tell them not to cry. You send them a mixed signal.
Yes, absolutely. So it's like the job
yeah.
is now to reverse all of that stuff that they've been taught. So they got to unlearn all that stuff. So that's the challenge. We have to unlearn everything that we've been taught about what exactly a man is. A man is simply just somebody who takes responsibility for their life, and they do something to change their circumstances, the long and short of it.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, caller.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. I have 2 minutes. I'm going to take this last one right here.
Okay.
We're going to wrap this up.
Okay.
Thank you, caller 1559. Thank you for calling. You're on the air with Victory Against All Odds.
Good morning.
Good
Evangelist,
morning.
I'm so glad to hear you on the air with your guests and the young man. It was very neat to hear him speaking. And as a man of God who comes from a very middle-of-the-road point of view, I'm here, my assignment is to do just what he said, to liberate these young people, old people, whomever, to be able to be themselves and to live as God really wants them. And to the other caller, to know that in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, God, through Paul, clearly speaks against all of the abuses. All of these issues are covered in that particular verse, and then it's covered in Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians, rather, the 5th chapter, and it's also dealt with in Romans. And so there's several places where God deals with this in the Word. It's just that because of the black churches, and I'm a black man, my book was written to black men, the black pastors have embraced all of this secretism, all of this hiding stuff, all of this not embracing all of this taboo, and that's not what Paul was saying when he spoke in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I thank God for this young man. I pray that your book goes all the way, that you've said every word you've spoken. You've declared it. You've decreed it that it will be. The other thing, my dear brother, you cannot be in the background. You can't hide. I just pray that God give you strength to stand firm as a young man, because you will be visible. For whatever reason, people need to see people. And I think what you're saying is you don't want people to make you an idol, and that's what
yes.
I'm always said. I just want to be there as God would use me in my late years at 65, coming out telling my story. But I know that between you and I and the others and the evangelist Donnie, that we're going to break this chain. God's going to use many of us to break this toehold that's been placed in America and the world, to put shame out in front, to put guilt out in front, to put embarrassment, and to allow this foolishness to continue. It must cease, and he's raising up people like yourself and the and our your host to do that. The curses are being broken, and they will be broken. And we're going to face the devil in the church, out of the church, and say, stop it, cease and desist. Be encouraged, young man.
Thank you, sir. I'm looking forward
to reading what you have. And if you want a copy of my book, just give the information to Sister Donnie so that we can exchange information and we'll get you a copy. The new book, Teddy Bear, Stolen Innocence, we have it. It's ready to go. But you be encouraged. Alrighty.
Thank you, sir.
God bless.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
This is Dr. Duke. Oh. And since I didn't say who I was, this is Dr. Duke.
Thank you, Dr. Duke, for calling.
Yes. God bless.
God bless. Okay, so let's talk about where we can get your book.
It is available on pervistaylor.com, www.pervistaylor.com.
Okay, you want to repeat that one more time for my listeners?
Yes. pervistaylor.com, pervistaylor.com.
Okay, and can we also get it at Amazon or?
Sure, you can get it on Amazon, BarnesandNobles.com, Google.com, Google Books.
Okay, all righty, that is awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed you. I really enjoyed you. And like I said, I'm going to borrow what you confess can be healed. I like that. I like that. I like that. Thank you so much for joining me on Victory Against All Odds.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And I thank my guests for calling as well. Please join me next week with my special guest, Judge Wanda Bryant of North Carolina Court of Appeals, right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And as I always say, stay tuned so you can begin to gain understanding of your physical and emotional challenges you are facing with yourself and or your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, your classmates, and your coworkers. Together, we can learn powerful strategic weapons to combat the seemingly insurmountable obstacles that life can bring and begin the process of healing and forgiving. My email address is odds_u@yahoo.com. Let me say that again. odds_against_u@yahoo.com, or you may Facebook me at facebook.com/victory. It's A, A. Thank you for listening. Please join me next week, October the 31st at 12:30 p.m. I will be opening up the lines for you to speak on the air. Until next time, you're listening to Victory Against All Odds right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a blessed day, and thank you, my guest, for joining me today. Thank you so much, and if you need anything, please don't hesitate to give me a call.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful, Lord, for you, and I'm forever grateful for the
Joining me on Blog Talk Radio. See you next week.